All right, we're continuing the Generous series, and today I want to talk about a legacy of generosity, a legacy of generosity. That's what we want. We want to be known as generous people, and we want our lives to go beyond us, and that happens when we give back. And our scripture today is going to come from Psalm 112, 5 through 6, and it says this: God will come to him who is generous and lends freely. In other words, God is attracted to generous people. He who conducts his affairs with justice, surely he will never be shaken. A righteous man will be remembered forever. And I think that it's going with this theme of generosity. First of all, he says that he who is generous and lends freely and conducts his affairs with justice, that God will come to that person. Good will come to that person. God will give favor to that person. And that a righteous man will be remembered forever. And I don't know about you, but I want to have a legacy as a generous person. I want to have a legacy as a giver. And when we talk about legacy, you know, a lot of people have legacies for a lot of different things. A lot of people have legacies just because they're rich. A lot of people are known just because they're famous. But when we talk about generosity, it goes beyond physical wealth, and it goes deep into the things that come after us. And so when we talk about legacy, we have to ask, what is a legacy? And a legacy is where my life lives beyond me. My life lives beyond me, that people are still remembering what I did for them. People are still seeing the effects of what I did for them, and it lives beyond me. That, you know, it's really a sad thing to think of people who are tremendously wealthy and they're going to die with that money in the bank without ever seeing it go beyond themselves. And that's what we want to have as a church. That's what we want to have as individuals, is a legacy that goes beyond us, that our grandkids, that people that live on beyond us see our giving and they see our prayers that come through a generous life. And so a legacy requires that we organize our lives in a way that we can be a blessing to others for generation to come. Right. Let me say it again. A legacy requires that we organize our lives so that we are a blessing to others for generations to come. And that means that we have to go beyond the thinking of what can I get right now and what can I have right now, to thinking, what can I give to the future? What can I give to those beyond me? What can I give that will live on beyond today? And so we have to take personal responsibility for that, don't we? Because it doesn't come naturally. Because we oftentimes want to live in the right now and thinking, what do I need next? What can I buy next? And so we have to take the personal responsibility to make sure that our relationships and our resources outlive us. We have to take the responsibility to make sure that our relationships and our resources outlive us, that it goes beyond what I'm doing right now. All right, so I want to give two ways to create a legacy, two ways that we can create a life that goes beyond us. Number one, we need to give to something that outlives me. Give to something that outlives me. Every time you come and we put our offering in these offering plates, we're giving to the kingdom of God, which, in case you don't know, will outlive you. That what we see here today is we see the results of people who gave 20, 30, 40 years ago. Matter of fact, there was a man named Brother Cable back when our church was in the Depression era, and he would walk along the railroad tracks that they're not in existence anymore, but if you go just south of the church here, and he would walk along those railroad tracks, and he would pick up coals from the railroad tracks, and he would bring them to the church so the church would have heat. We are experiencing the blessing and the legacy of that man today, even though he never knew what he was doing, keeping that church warm. How many knows how many people are baptized? How many people are in the kingdom of God just because a man was generous with his time and with his effort? And that's what we talk about, outliving our money. And we want to do this not only with money, but we want to do this with time. We want to do this in relationships. We want to do this in education. We want to give to something that outlives us. Number two, the second way is that we live our life so that it outlives me. Live my life so that it outlives me. You know why? Because we're going to die. Barring that the Lord doesn't come back, every one of us, we're going to die. But we can live a life that outlives us. Go walk next door into the Eva Hunt Center. It's named after a woman that her life is outliving her. That the prayers, the energy that she put into this church and re-energized this church when it was kind of needed, to have CPR. Which, by the way, got CPR after church today. But it needed CPR, and she came and she did that. And you know what? Her life's outliving her. Amen. Every time there's someone baptized, her life's outliving her. Why? Because she gave it all to the kingdom of God. And her life is outliving her. Every deed is a seed. Everybody say that. Every deed is a seed. Every act of kindness, every act of generosity, every time you show up to teach Sunday school, every time that you do something sacrificially, that's a seed that's going to grow and it's going to feed many people. It's going to be outliving you. It's going to be outliving maybe that simple act, and it will go to many, many people. So the goal isn't to live on earth forever. That's not the goal. The goal is to live a life that does. The goal is to live a life and a reputation that does. You know, in Matthew chapter 26, we read the story. It's a very familiar story that actually I preached from a few months ago, but I want to take a little different angle on it. And it says in verse 6, "Now when Jesus was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, a woman came up to him with an alabaster flask of very expensive ointment, and she poured it on his head as he reclined at the table. And when the disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, 'Why this waste? For this could have been sold for a large sum of money and given to the poor.' But Jesus, aware of this, said to them, 'Why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a beautiful thing to me, for you always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me. And pouring this ointment on my body, she has done it to prepare me for burial. Truly I say to you, wherever this gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her.'" Wow, isn't that awesome? Jesus said, because of what she has sacrificially done for me, wherever the gospel's preached, she's going to be talked about, and she's going to have a legacy that outlives her. Amen. That we don't even know what this woman's name was, but her legacy goes on as a legacy of giving. And as she's pouring out this expensive oil on Jesus' feet, the people around him said, "This is a waste. Think of all the things she could do with that money." And you know, as you come and you give your tithes and offerings, I know there's probably a little voice in your head, and it's not God, as Brittany said, and actually as Patty said, the devil's not going to tell you to give more, okay? He's going to do everything he can to discourage you, and he's going to put a little voice in your head that says, "What a waste. Think of what you could do with that money. Think of how you could give more to your family. Think of how you could maybe build just a little bit of a bigger house or a little bit nicer car." And he's going to try to discourage you from giving. But I want to tell you, you got to push through those voices and give in faith. Know that when you give to the kingdom of God, that you're creating a legacy that goes beyond you. It goes beyond your personal self. It goes beyond your family. It goes beyond even this community, that you're blessing the world by giving to the kingdom of God. Does anybody believe that today? Can we clap our hands and thank God? So if you want a legacy of generosity, it's going to require us to get past what we want right now and to think future. We have to be intentional and we have to be forward thinking if we want to tap into a legacy that goes beyond us. We must be reminded that our legacy and our legacy of generosity will go into eternity. We're talking about eternity here today. And when you think of how long eternity is compared to what you're going through right now, it's like a drop in the ocean. And so we have to be reminded that our legacy will extend to eternity, that this goes beyond just the temporary, and that should continually motivate me to give more and to be more generous. So what I do today, remember every deed is a seed. What I do today is laying the foundation of a legacy for tomorrow. The actions I make today, whether I decide to be generous, whether I decide to give, whether I decide to push myself a little bit deeper to give more. I'm planting seeds for whatever legacy it is that I want to build. And some of you maybe have never thought about this, but it's never too late to start a generous legacy. You can start today. You could start with just one act. And your children, they're going to build upon that legacy. Whatever legacy you leave, they're going to build upon that. If you're a giver, they're going to learn how to be a giver. If you're not a giver, if you're stingy, they're going to learn to be stingy. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want a stingy legacy. I want a legacy of generosity, of life giving and overflowing to other people. Does anybody want that today? Anybody want to have a generous legacy? You know what? Danielle and I, we need to make a confession to you today. She doesn't know about this, so she's probably really nervous. But we are incredibly wealthy. We haven't told you guys all about it yet, but we are incredibly wealthy. And that we have been blessed with an incredible, generous legacy on both sides of the family. And it starts, goes all the way back on both sides of our parents and her father, her biological father who passed away. His parents were ministers. His name was C.E. Calk. And his wife is here today, Granny Calk. She made the trip all the way from Shreveport, Louisiana, to be with us today. I wonder if we could just give her a hand. If she wants to stand, she can stand. Oh, let's let her hear it. How many is glad that Granny Calk's here today? Love you. And they pastored churches for years. They were headed up the whole state of Alabama for our organization for years. Faithful to the kingdom of God. Married for 62 years. Matter of fact, yesterday would have been their 67th anniversary. Isn't that awesome? But he's gone on to be with the Lord. And she was just telling me a story a few months back at our last visit. One day where they were pastoring, there was just no money. And her husband went and to the pawn shop and sold one of his guitars for $5 just to keep the church and to keep them going. And while he was gone, a random farmer stopped by the house, didn't go to their church, never, I don't know if he'd ever been to their church. And he said, you know what, I had such a great crop this year, and I don't go to church, but I believe in tithing. And so I just came to drop off this tithe, and it was just wads of money. And so she didn't even have time to count it. She just held it in her hands, and her husband got home, and she said, C.E., you can go and buy the guitar back. God's blessed us. Isn't that awesome? God always provides when you give. And so we're so happy that she's here, and we honor you today. And Danielle and I thank you for the legacy that you've played into our lives. And then on Danielle's her mother's side, which, by the way, my mother-in-law, Jan Calk Madden's here today. Let's give her another hand. How many love her? Jan's grandfather was a man named C.P. Kilgore. And he is largely responsible for the, for the growth of the Pentecostal movement in the state of Texas. That he traveled all throughout Texas in faith, would set up a tent in local towns and just preach the gospel. And it's estimated that 10,000 people were baptized by his ministry. Isn't that awesome? And think of the legacy that he built that goes on. And it's there's a cool story, and I don't want to just tell family stories here today, but he was in a town one time and was wanting to baptize a bunch of people, and the only place they had was a local pond, but they said, you know, we have to warn you, it's infested with snakes. And that didn't stop him. He took them there anyway, and they said as soon as his feet hit the water, that snake-infested pond, that those snakes just took off out of the pond, and he baptized those people, and the snakes were never, ever seen again. Isn't that awesome? And there's stories that he would have revivals, and he was supposed to get from one town to another, and the money just wasn't there. And he would put a gallon of gas in his car by faith, and he would drive all day on that gallon of gas, and God would supernaturally help him get to where he needed to go. And I'm telling you these stories to build your faith, because you can have the same legacy. And then we have his son, was James Kilgore, who pastored in Texas for years, and so many people blessed out of that church. As a matter of fact, there's people in this church that were blessed from that church, and thousands more people probably baptized. And then Jan and Rod have always been involved in the kingdom of God. Rod isn't, you know, in the professional ministry, but he's been involved in building churches. And Jan is an incredible speaker, has blessed us so many times, and a great prayer warrior. We love and appreciate her. And then on my mom's side, it goes back six generations of Spirit-filled people. And on dad's side, the generations don't go as back. But, you know, we have mom and dad, Suey, that did a great work, raised up dad, and of course what he's done here. What I'm trying to tell you is that is real wealth. That is legacy that lives beyond money. And I really believe that the prayers that Granny Calk has prayed, they're in my account. Now, I have to claim them by faith, but I believe every time that I tap into that legacy, that I tap into something that goes beyond me, that goes into generations before me, because it's almost like it's in my spiritual DNA. And every time that I give, every time that I come and I give in the offering, that I think if you could see our family heavenly bank account, we would be multi-millionaires. And I'm not ashamed to say that. That's something to be proud of, that because that's what really matters in life, is what is going to go on beyond me. And so I want to give back, and I want to contribute, and I want to do even more, because I owe it to them to give everything I have to the kingdom of God. Amen? Because that's what really, really matters. And so we're building upon a legacy that transcends us. And every prayer, I believe that prayers don't have expiration dates. We talk about living generously. It goes beyond financial giving. Sometimes we need to be generous with our prayers and to pray for other people. And those prayers that you've prayed, they don't die. You may not see some of the prayers answered. And Granny Calk was just saying yesterday, she said, God has granted me the grace to see prayers that I outlived, that I got to see them answered in my lifetime. And sometimes they will outlive us, but they'll be answered at some point. And so we want to get back to our plan for a legacy. And we brought up these 3 points last week, and we're going to kind of go over them again. And the first thing, the first part of our plan is that I will be intentional about sharing my resources. I'll be intentional about sharing my resources. In other words, I'm going to be intentional about giving my tithes and offering. It's not going to be a if, maybe. It's going to be intentional. It's non-negotiable. I'm going to be very intentional about giving back to God. And Adam mentioned the harvest offering we have coming up. Let's be intentional next week about talking and asking the Lord, Lord, what would you have me to give? What would you have me to give to your kingdom? And how many gave away the cards this week? Did we get any cards out that we had last week? Wasn't that awesome? I don't know about you, but I went through a drive-thru and I kind of hung around a little bit and looked in my back window to see the person's face when they got the card. Anybody else do that? And it brought back, you know, the scripture, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And to be able to bless somebody. And the woman that was at the window was like, sir, you can go now. I was like, oh, I'm sorry, you know. But Lauren Sims, Lauren, wave at everybody. She told a cool story. She used her card at Starbucks, and she was already buying for some other people in her family. And then she looked in the car behind her, and there were like 3 people. Anybody ever been there? I think we all been there. It's like, God, I want to bless somebody, but not a whole carload, you know. How about it? You know, like just one person, a single family, keyword being single. But it was like a carload behind her. So, you know, we've all been there doing the math, and she's in college. And so she got to the window, and the woman at the window said, hey, it's on us. And they took care of her order, which allowed her to take care of the order behind her and use her card. And that just reminds us that when we step out and give, God always has our back. So we want to be intentional with our resources. Number two, we will be intentional about sharing our time. Be generous with our time. Right now, we have a team of adults next door, many of them in their 30s and 40s, who are being generous with their time with your kids. Yeah. And you know what? That is something we take very serious around here. Yes, because some of those kids, their eternal future is riding upon whether an adult shows up today to help them hear about Jesus. And by the way, we'll need more volunteers in Kids Blast in weeks to come. And that's a great way to be generous with your time. And you won't be signing away your life. If you want to help for 2 weeks or for a month, that's okay. But just be intentional about it. We have Sunday school teachers. We have the Chapmans. They have been generous with their time. And they have taught Sunday school for over 30 years in this church. And that legacy goes to hundreds, if not thousands of kids. Can we give God a praise for that? And thank God for generous people. You know, our praise singers and our musicians and our greeters that say, you know what, I'll be generous with my time and I'll show up to church an hour early so I can help other people. And they don't just come in and consume all the time, but they give back. That is something that goes well into eternity. That, you know, there could be somebody that, you know, their eternity is riding on whether there's a friendly face at the front door just to say hello. And so we want to be generous with our time. We want to find ways to serve other people, not just what we can always get here at church, but how can we give back? How can we get involved? Number three, I'll be intentional about sharing Jesus. I'll be intentional about sharing Jesus. And as I elaborated earlier, on both sides of our family, we have people that's been intentional about sharing the greatest gift that we could have, the greatest resource we can have, and that is Jesus Christ. And that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what really matters. That's the only thing that can save. There's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. And that's the name of Jesus, and it's the greatest gift that we can give to people today. Anybody feel that way? Anybody want to give somebody the greatest gift that you can? And that's the hope that comes through our Savior. So as we wind down today, I want to kind of give us what eternity all boils down to, what it all comes down to. It's about eternity. It's about eternity. Some of us today, we're worried about things that in 5 years we won't even remember. We're thinking about buying things that won't even last until next year. But there's this idea called eternity that we were all created for. And to think that, you know, since we've been here at church today, if you compare our time here at church today with eternity, it wouldn't even be a split second of what our lives are. And so we're preparing for real life that will go beyond us. And so we want to really be intentional about that next life, because that is the one that will remain forever. Romans 14, chapter 10, verse 10 says, "You, then, why do you judge your brother or sister, or why do you treat them with contempt? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, 'As surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will acknowledge God.' So then each of us will have to give an account of ourselves to God." That's a very, very sobering verse. That every one of us will give an account of ourselves before God. And he starts off saying, you know, don't get too carried away about judging other people. Because while you're judging them, you need to keep in mind all that stuff nobody knows about, you're going to have to give an account for it. That's sobering. We're going to have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And we're going to have to give an account for what we did with our money. We're going to have to give an account for what we did with our time. We're going to have to give an account for how we managed our relationships, how we treated people. And so there's two questions that will determine our eternity. Number one, what did you do with Jesus? Lord will ask us, what did you do with my life that I gave to you? My gift of my son that I gave to you. What did you do with it? Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 says, "Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. The earth and the heavens fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done as recorded in the books." He said, I saw great, and I saw small. I saw everybody come before this judgment seat, and they were judged as to whether the name was in the book of life. There were books brought before him, and then there was the book. And you want your name in the book. because that's what matters. You have to live your life in a way that says, I'm going to do everything I can for my name to be in the book. And the only way you can get your name in the book is through Jesus. You can't do it based on what you did. You can't give enough money. You have to have faith, and you have to believe that Jesus is who he said he was. And in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name, did we not drive out demons? In your name, perform many miracles? And I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. You see, it's all about knowing Jesus. It's not about knowing about him. It's not about head knowledge. But this word knew, he says, I never knew you. It's about right here. You have to know him in your heart. And if you know him in your heart, you're going to obey him. You're going to do what he says. You're going to have a personal relationship with him that goes beyond just, you know, performing religious acts and just knowing the right scriptures. But you're going to know him personally and in your heart. And so the answer to this first question is, you want to say, I believe in him. Lord, I believe in you, and I know you. You recognize me because we spent time together. I believed in you. I followed you from the time that I prayed that first prayer, when I was baptized in water, filled with your spirit. Lord, we had a relationship that went beyond superficial religion. And so that's the first question we have to ask. What are you going to do with Jesus, which is the greatest resource you can have? The number two, the second question is this. What did you do with what I gave you? What did you do with what I gave you? You see, every one of us in here, God has given us something. God has given us, for some of us, God has blessed us with talents that has allowed us to make money. And for some of us, he's blessed us maybe with other talents that have helped us to encourage other people and have helped us to serve in different ways and be creative. And for some of us, he's just created us to serve in ways that maybe physically help people. For me, he's given me this legacy and the ministry, and I'm going to give an account for what I did with that. So what are you doing with what God has given you? Are you being generous with what God has given you? 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, for we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due to him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Then Matthew 16 says, for the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what he has done. You see, the first judgment, the white throne judgment, and then the judgment of our salvation, it's a judgment of faith. And I really believe this. For those of us that have faith in Jesus Christ, and we've appropriated that faith, and we've walked with him, and we know him, that first judgment is kind of going to be a rubber stamp, because God's going to know us. He's going to recognize us. But there's this other judgment, a judgment of works, that goes beyond faith, and God's going to say, okay, you believed in me, you knew me, but what did you do with what I gave you? Did you invest your resources in my kingdom? Did you invest your time in my kingdom? Did you give back your talents? Did you give back your energy? Did you give back your health to get involved? And I gave you so many blessings. Did you use that car to pick up people and give them rides to church? Did you use that money to give back to my kingdom to help support ministries and help support missionaries worldwide? Did you give back that health I gave you, that wonderful health I gave you, or did you use it all for yourself and for the next trip to the lake, and you kind of ignored my kingdom and you never got really involved in your church? What did you do with what I gave you? And the answer you want to give to this question is, Lord, I gave my life away to what matters most. I gave my life away to what matters most. You know, the story goes, Mama Jan, that your dad told a story that one day they were in a church and they didn't know if they were going to get paid for the revival, and they got paid, and I think it was peaches. That was their offering for the week. And James Kilgore tells a story that those peaches tasted so good because they were just happy to have food. But one day in judgment, I'm going to sit next to them. The Lord's going to ask, okay, what did you do with what I gave you? They gave it all. How many tens of thousands of people were touched by what that man did? And he gave it all, and it outlives him. You know why it outlives him? What are we talking about today? Who are we talking about today? And we're not glorifying him, but we're glorifying what God did through him. And he's just looking for somebody today that says, Lord, I'll give it all. Lord, you have it. Nothing's off limits. I want to hear what you want me to give back, because I want my life to be bigger than me. I want my life to be bigger than what I want right now. But I want to tap into something that's greater. And every time you give, you tap into the legacy of this church. Anybody believe that? You tap into the legacy of Jesus Christ that goes way beyond you and is way bigger than you, way bigger than your house, way bigger than your personal finances. And it goes and it blesses people from around the world. Can we all stand today? And here's how I want to close out today. Maybe you're here today and you don't have the legacy that I've been blessed to have. I want to tell you, you can start one. You can start one. You know how you start one? You start giving that tithe check every Sunday. You know how you start one? You start bringing those kids to church. You know how you start one? You just go the extra mile for somebody this week and be generous. Find somebody maybe that's going through the Celebrate Recovery program that needs a mentor, that needs a friend. That's how you start a legacy. And you know what? And then after you've helped that person, that person takes what you gave them and they go pour it into someone else. And they maybe pour it into two or three people. And before you know it, hundreds of people have been blessed and a legacy has been formed with just one decision. I'm going to be generous with my time. I'm going to be generous with my money. I'm going to be generous with my relationships. I'm going to stretch myself a little bit and I'm going to sow into someone and I'm going to live life in a way that will go beyond me. Can we close our eyes right now and bow our head? And here's what I'm going to tell you. If you want to lift up your heads real fast, we're going to sing a song here in a minute. And if you want to have a legacy, I want everybody to make their way up forward when we sing this song. But let's close our eyes just for a second. And let's bow our heads. And I'm going to ask this question. If you're here today and you feel like the Holy Spirit has talked to you and that you want to live a legacy and you want to leave a legacy, you want your kids to have a legacy that goes beyond you. And maybe you're here today and the only legacy that you can honestly leave your kids is a legacy of sin and selfishness. I want to tell you, that can all change today with one decision for Jesus Christ. And you can start to have a legacy of generosity, a legacy of faith, a legacy of righteousness. And remember what the psalm said, good will come to that person who's generous and is righteous. So if you're here today, and this isn't just for me to see, but you're raising your hand to God, and you want to say, you know what, I want to start a generous legacy, a righteous legacy today. Can you lift those hands? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I pray bless every person. Now, here's the thing. To start that, you have to believe that Jesus is who he said he was. You have to believe that he is the Son of God, the living God. You have to believe that he has died, he was buried, and he was risen again the third day for your sins. And you need to believe that he's coming back to save us, to save you in eternity. And if you've never made that decision, you need to do that today, because that's where a generous legacy really starts. And so just pray with me right now. Father, Pray in your own way if you have to. Father, I pray for every person here today, God, that needs to cross the line of faith. Maybe they've been living in sin. They've been living for themselves. God, and I pray, help them to make that decision. I'm going to live away my life in a way that goes beyond me. Lord, I believe in you. I believe that this is true. And I want my life, I want my kids to have a legacy of faith. Lord, and I pray you would take away every sin from my heart. Take away any desire for sin. I want to live for you. I want to live righteously. I want to live holy. I'm giving my life away to you because that's the only way I can live forever. If you prayed that prayer right now, your next step is to be baptized. You're eligible to be baptized into the name of Jesus that we sung about. And every sin can be washed away. And we can bury that old legacy. And when you come out of that water, a new legacy of Jesus Christ is formed for you and your family. Does anybody want that today?